Welcome back to the second hour of the fall 2018 broadcast of Echolocation, Storm Surge Sounding. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lowe Judas, and on this episode, we're exploring the sounds of weather. We're listening to Claude Debussy's composition Dead Leaves, played by Noriko Ogawa, which seemed like a good choice for the transition from summer heat to winter cold. During the first hour of the show, we focused on storms traditionally associated with warmer weather like hurricanes and tornadoes. But in the second hour, we're going to be listening to sounds that are more associated with colder weather and chillier parts of the planet. That jarring sound is the sound of a sonic boom, and it's a little hard to believe that a sound that loud can actually be made by water, but people who have heard frost quakes describe the noise that they make as akin to a sonic boom. I couldn't actually find any recordings of frost quakes, but from what I've read, these are seismic geological phenomena caused by winter weather. They're also known as cryoseisms, and they're caused by sudden freezing of the ground and bedrock when temperatures go quickly from above freezing to below. And this often happens at night when the temperature decreases rapidly. So imagine being woken up by this sound. They're often mistaken for earthquakes since they cause tremors, vibrations, and cracking noises. So the conditions that are necessary to create a frost quake, unless in case you're worried about being awoken at night by one this winter, are that it has to be a region that's susceptible to cold. The ground has to be saturated with liquid from either thaw or rain prior to the cold air mass coming in. And often there's little or no snow cover on the ground to insulate it. And the rapid temperature drop has to happen within 16 and 48 hours of the phenomena. And some reports indicate that there was a presence of distant flashing lights either before or after a frost quake, possibly because of electrical changes when rocks are compressed. So that would be super spooky on a cold winter's night to hear a loud boom, feel the ground quake, and see the mysterious flashing lights. But I hope you don't lose sleep over it. There's another type of frost quake that's more common in warm weather. This type of quake is called an ice quake, and it was first discovered when low-frequency seismic signals were picked up during the summer months, which were traced back to the movement of glaciers in Greenland. A geophysicist by the name of Göran Ekström has studied low-frequency seismic signals originating in Greenland's glaciers. And rather than freezing temperature, surface ice melt from warm water forms a pool beneath the glacier, and the hydraulic pressure of the liquid acts as a lubricant, so the glacier may shift suddenly in position, causing a loud noise. And the movement of glaciers during an ice quake can be compared to sticking or sliding. So the sliding of ice against rocky ground is the source of the low frequency waves. There's a climate change connection here. Ekström and his colleagues examined glacial seismic records back to 1993 and found a sharp increase in the number of ice quakes recorded in recent years. In 1993, there were about 6 to 15 per year, and in 2005, 32 were counted in just that year alone. So warming weather in Greenland is leading to more glacial melt, which is leading to more ice quakes. I stumbled across another interesting weather sound when researching ice quakes. I found an article entitled "The Strange Singing Glaciers of Greenland" by Micah Hanks that was published in Mysterious Universe website in April of 2015. And it describes a mystery sound that's been known in Greenland as Tundur Dovbai and was documented in August of 1932 by a French expedition that was exploring Scoresby Sound. And it was described as a massive foghorn some distance away. And I'm going to read a little bit from researcher A. Duvalier, who wrote in the journal Nature in 1934 about the mystery sound. He writes, "During the month of August 1932, when setting up the French expedition of the internal polar year in Scoresby Sound on the East Greenland coast, some of my colleagues and I heard four times the mysterious sound called by the late A. Wegener the Tundur Dovbai. The sound was heard in the morning, generally at 11 a.m., and also during the afternoon. It was a powerful and deeply musical note coming from the south, lasting a few seconds. It resembled the roaring of a foghorn." Wegener ascribed it to the movements of inland ice. Interesting, Duvalier and his original 1934 report speculated that despite the likelihood of glacial ice movements, the sound he and his group heard were similar to the so-called desert song, an anomalous sound in nature that's reported in deserts and other areas with long sloping sand dunes that can form. "Is this vibrating sound really caused by the detachment of icebergs?" Duvalier asked. "Or is it similar to desert song, that strange musical note produced by sand?" In fact, there is a close analogy between the fields of powdery dry snow and the inland ice and the fields of sand in the Arabian desert. Thank you.
I'm
You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia Counties. We just heard Weather Report with the song Waterfall. And I guess we're going to have to take a detour from our exploration of cold weather phenomena to take a visit to the desert to hear the singing sands. Large sand dunes in deserts all over the world are known to sing when it's very windy, and only on hot, dry days as sand accumulates at the top of the dune until it eventually spills over. And the resulting sand avalanches are known to be linked with booming sounds and an ominous sounding hum that seems to come from everywhere. And according to legends of the Great Sahara, the sounds were attributed to God as if he were speaking through the sand. And ever since that time, people have been trying to figure out how the sound is made. And scientists Paul Schultz, Michael Bretz, and Franco Nori provide an interesting description of the singing dunes in their paper, Sound Producing Sand Avalanches, that was published in the journal Contemporary Physics in 1997. Quoting from the abstract of the academic paper, sound-producing sand grains constitute one of nature's more puzzling and least understood physical phenomena. They occur naturally in two distinct types, booming and squeaking. Large-scale slumping events on dry, booming dunes can produce acoustic emissions that can be heard up to 10 kilometers away, which resemble hums, moans, drums, thunder, foghorn, or the drone of a low-flying propeller aircraft. These analogies emphasize the uniqueness of the phenomenon and the clarity of the produced sound. Although reports of these sands have existed in the literature for over 1,000 years, a satisfactory explanation for either type of acoustic emission is still unavailable. And then a more recent article that was published in 2012 in Advancing Earth and Space Science by a Parisian team of biophysicists, the source of the sound lies in the sand itself. The paper's authors are S. Degu Boy, S. Corich DuPont, and S. Duide, and they traveled to two known singing sand dunes, one in Morocco and one in Oman. And first, they scooched down the dunes on their butts to make enough sand move that it will induce the singing sound. And they recorded and analyzed the result. The Moroccan dune let out a clear tone, while the Omani dune blasted 9 different tones. And then they gathered a whole bunch of sand and they took it back to the lab, and they found that they could reproduce the sound with just a small amount of sand, which debunked the idea that the phenomenon requires a huge sand dune to actually occur. And what they found with the difference in tone is that the Moroccan dune had more uniform sand particles, while the Omani had many different size particles, making a more complex tone. And you can visit the Echolocation Facebook page at facebook.com/echolocation/WGXC to see the videos of these people scooching down the sand dunes on their butts and making this super spooky, cool sound. And I guess the end result of the research is that they certainly verified that it's those teensy particles of sand are banging together and making the mysterious hum of the singing sand dunes.
For making noises like whales.
You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide on wavefarm.org. We just heard the song The Wind by PJ Harvey, and now we're going to take a trip to Antarctica to learn about a different kind of wind. It's called a katabatic wind. Here is a description of katabatic winds from the website Weather Online, which is from the UK. Katabatic wind is a generic term for downslope winds flowing from high elevations of mountains, plateaus, and hills down their slopes to the valleys or plains below. Katabatic winds exist in many parts of the world, and they're known by many different names. They can be gentle or fierce, but most katabatic winds are more or less the result of air contact with upper-level ground that is cooled by radiation and then increases in density and flows downhill along the valley bottom. For example, radiation cooling during nighttime can have a katabatic flow in the early morning when a pool of cold, high-elevation air begins to descend beneath warmer, less dense air. This effect is enhanced during the winter over snow-covered surfaces and after dry, clear nights. These types of winds can reach velocities of up to 4 meters per second, and the rush of cold air down the slopes rapidly decreases the surrounding air temperature as it speeds down the topography into the valleys and plains below it. And katabatic winds can reach gale force as an outblowing wind over ice-covered surfaces in Antarctica and Greenland, where the wind may be extremely strong and gusty near the coasts and less severe in the mountain regions. Dr. Philip Simartis is an Australian sound artist and a professor at the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology, and he has a lot of experience with katabatic winds. He's done extensive work in Antarctica and traveled to Casey Station as an Australian Antarctic Arts Fellow. He's gone there both in 2010 and in 2016 to explore the interaction of katabatic wind with the built and natural environments. And I'm going to read some excerpts from the article that Philip wrote in the Australian Antarctic Magazine in June of 2016. With images of ferocious gales and phantasmagorical landscapes etched firmly in my mind, I undertook 3 weeks of fieldwork at Casey Station, interrogating the effects of katabatic wind on the station and surrounding environment. Katabatic wind is a low-gravity wind that gains force as it travels down elevated slopes. It is particularly prevalent at Casey due to its location at the base of Low Dome, which gently rises to an elevation of 1,395 meters. When the cooler temperature of the katabatic mixes with warmer temperatures of offshore wind, the erratic weather system emerges. Katabatic wind is particularly notable for the way it shapes the manner in which sound is experienced within the built and natural environment. Its trajectory can push sound away from you, or it can draw it closer to you. Its intensity can mask sound, and its absence can heighten it. At its most ferocious, it simply obliterates everything in its path. A collision with the built environment transforms katabatic wind into an intense series of ascending and descending pitches, like a supercharged Aeolian harp. On one occasion, while recording from an ice-encrusted cold porch, I was informed that the wind gusts were exceeding 185 kilometers per hour. The piercing shrieks of the anemometer emerging from the white abyss provided testimony to its ferocity. And Philip was kind enough to share a recording of the katabatic winds in Antarctica with me, so I'm going to play it for us now. This is The Blizzard, Ecology of Place Surround. So let's transport our ears, at least, to Casey Station in Antarctica to experience katabatic winds. You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM and wavefarm.org. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lowe Judas, and on this broadcast, we're exploring sounds of weather phenomena. We've just listened to a composition using recordings of katabatic winds from Antarctica, which were composed by Australian sound artist Philip Samaritis. Dr. Samaritis' work is really interesting, and in addition to being on the faculty of the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology, he operates an organization called Bogong Centre for Sound Culture in the foothills of Victorian's Alpine National Park in Australia. The website is bogongsound.com.au, and that's B-O-G-O-N-G. And I'm going to read just a little from the site, but I really encourage you to check it out because it's super cool. The Bogong Center supports projects focusing on the processes and impacts of sustainable energy production, effects of climate change in wilderness areas, ethnographic studies of remote communities, and chronicling of vanishing industrial procedures and systems of representation used to render natural and built environments. Additionally, the Bogong Center for Sound Culture facilitates a broad cultural program comprising festivals, exhibitions, publications, master classes, and artist talks focusing on site-specific art practices. These programs establish a connection with place, its inhabitants, geographic space, and memory. They engage a wide range of audiences, bringing together local, interstate, and international artists across multiple disciplines and fields to realize ambitious works. And the Bogong Center is situated in the newly restored old schoolhouse at Bogong Alpine Village, which is located 350 kilometers from Melbourne in northeast Victoria. You can visit the website to learn more about Philip, the projects at the Bogong Center, and their residency program for sound artists. The website, again, is bogongsound.com.au. Thank you. That was another old school PJ Harvey song called Fountain, and it might just really be about the wind. Thanks for listening to Echolocation Fall 2018 broadcast Storm Surge Sounding. I think you should probably head over to our Facebook page to see some cool videos and find references from this episode and links to some of our featured artists. Special thanks to Jason Davis for talking with us about his Climate Stories project, and you can visit his website at climatestoriesproject.org. And thanks to Philip Samartis for sharing his recording, The Blizzard, Ecology of Place Surround, so that we could all experience the power of katabatic winds. His website is bogongsound.com.au, and you can find links to both sites at facebook.com/echolocation/WGXC. So I hope you all have a nice fall and don't encounter any ferocious storms out there. And we'll be back in December for the winter broadcast of Echolocation, so stay tuned for that. And thanks again for listening, and I'm Elizabeth Lowe Judas telling you until next time, keep your ear to the ground.